In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Paul is writing to us from his prison cell in today's epistle, and he's writing from this place and telling us to rejoice. What to the world would be a cause of despair and sadness over misfortune, to St. Paul is a cause for joy, that is, to lie in a Roman prison, for he knows that he is imprisoned for our Lord Jesus Christ. And to suffer for Christ gives him joy. We human beings have joy when we possess what we desire. Joy comes to a mother when her newborn infant is placed in her arms. Joy comes to a child when he receives his longed-for toy on Christmas morning. Joy comes to newlyweds as they come down the aisle to possess each other unto death on their wedding day. Interior, supernatural, and everlasting joy is the lot of the Catholic who is in the state of sanctifying grace because he possesses something which he desires. By nature, man desires to know the truth and to love what is good. Just as our bodies have a longing for food and obtain a satisfaction when that food is had, so our souls have powers or faculties that long for spiritual food, and they rejoice when this food is obtained. Because our souls have two spiritual faculties, intellect and will, they long by nature to know the truth and to love the good. And since God is infinite truth and goodness, the soul achieves joy in knowing God and in possessing God. And because truth and goodness are the goals of our intellects and of our wills, the soul achieves peace when it achieves the possession of what is true and good. For peace is the effect of order. And when the intellect achieves truth and the will achieves good, the result is order, and the effect of order is peace. St. Augustine said that peace is the tranquility of order. The spiritual life is the possession of friendship with God. What God holds out to us is not merely a textbook knowledge of Him, but a true and everlasting friendship, a relationship of mutual love, a communication of good things, one to the other. To the soul that is willing to believe in Him, He is willing in return to come and abide in that soul, as He said He would in sacred Scripture, to grace that soul with the supernatural quality of His friendship, which is nothing else than sanctifying grace, to inspire that soul with the gifts of the Holy Ghost, drawing that soul to perfection, and to visit that soul by means of the Holy Eucharist, and finally to bring that soul to everlasting and perfect union with Him in heaven. This unwavering and faithful friend, who is our God, has proven His desire for our friendship by taking on our flesh, by accepting our miserable state brought upon ourselves by our own sins, by dying on the cross for our salvation, and by placing himself in the most humiliating state of the Holy Eucharist, so that he could be perpetually present to us and able to come to us physically, that is, into our bodies and our souls. He has furthermore given us the joy of knowing that our sins are forgiven if we simply be sorry for them, that he is infinitely merciful, the joy to know that heaven awaits even the hardened sinner should he repent. He tells us that he is the good shepherd and that he will leave the 99 in the desert in order to retrieve the single sheep that was lost. In addition, he has given us the joy of his Immaculate Mother as our consolation and our hope, the vision of whom caused so much joy in Saint Bernadette that she went into ecstasy every time that Our Lady appeared to her. And for the rest of her life, amid terrible crosses, both of pain and interior mental anguish and hardship, she had joy in the hope of seeing one day the Lady again, as she put it. And we call our Blessed Lady in the Litany of the Saints cause of our joy. This friendship with God is so strong and so abiding that it outweighs any other worldly sorrow. Even in the midst of terrible trials, trials of pain, trials of misfortune, the death of a loved one, humiliations, financial reverses or poverty, insults and injuries from our enemies, or worse, from our friends. In the midst of all of these things, we still remain interiorly joyful and at peace because we possess the one thing that we desire, and that is God. And these misfortunes of life we bear patiently. But the perfect not only bear them patiently, but actually desire to sacrifice themselves to God. And where God does not send them humiliation, they look for it. And where God does not send them trial, they go and look for it. And where God does not send them pain, they go and find mortification. Because they understand something that we all understand to a greater or lesser extent. But they understand this one principle and apply it to the spiritual life, that love makes sacrifice a joy. Love makes sacrifice a joy. And I'll give you an example to show you. You are, in this season of Advent, preparing for the Feast of Christmas. You all know that there is more joy in giving than in receiving. And you find more joy in going out and finding for your loved ones thoughtful and at times expensive presents to please them. Because you want the joy of giving, you want the joy to please them. And oftentimes you will extend your budget over its predicted limits in order to please those whom you love, to have that joy of giving. And you will go through a great deal of work and sacrifice in order to make a Christmas for your loved ones, in order, again, that they enjoy, so that you have the joy of Christmas, the joy of giving. And yes, they will give you back certain things. But you know that your mind is not really on what you're going to receive, but rather your mind is on what you are going to give. So also the saints of God, those who achieve perfection in the spiritual life, have on their minds to give to God. They want the joy of giving to God. And as God has given to them by His sacrifice on the cross, by the piercing of His Sacred Heart, by His humble presence in the Holy Eucharist, as they have penetrated the friendship of God in those acts, so they wish to give back to Him by sacrifice, and that sacrifice is a joy. And that is why St. Paul says, rejoice from his prison cell, because he is sacrificing for Christ. And as I have told you at other times, St. John Chrysostom said, nothing is better than to suffer for Christ. Nothing is better than to suffer for Christ. How beautiful those words are. Of all the things human beings treasure, nothing is better than to suffer for Christ. Conversely, should we possess all worldly things and have an easy, soft life, but without God, we shall be interiorly in turmoil and without peace or joy. Misfortunes will bring down upon us interior misery. Despair will drive us to try and to forget our dreadful judgment to come after we take our final breath and have to bear our sins to God, the ugliness of our soul. We try to forget the hell that lies beyond the grave. There is no such joy in such a soul, but only the passing delights of distraction from interior disorder and misery. And the greater the disorder and the misery inside, the greater the drive for distraction, the distraction of impurity, the distraction of the purchase and the possession of material things, the distraction of drunkenness, partying, and revelry, attempts to make the pain go away. Christmas should be, therefore, a time in which we cherish our friendship with God. No friend is more faithful than God is a friend. And no friend has done more for us than, or would do more than God has done. The sorrow of Advent today is slightly alleviated. That is why you see the rose color, a lightening of the normal purple of this season. That is why you see the flowers, and at the High Mass you would hear the organ play, because of St. Paul's words, Gaudete, which is rejoice, and the Church places those words here on this Sunday because we are more than halfway through this season. We are anticipating the joy of Christmas. But at the same time, the sorrow of Advent is the sorrowing of being without God. The just and the holy people of the Old Testament long for the joy that we possess. No, they did not know the Holy Eucharist. They did not know our Blessed Lady. They did not know the gifts of the Holy Ghost, the fire of Pentecost. They did not know the authority of the Church and the consolation
of that teaching authority. They did not know the priests of the New Testament, the bishops and popes that would give the world so much stability, the presence of Christ in the world. They knew nothing of these things except perhaps in shadow. But they knew that God would come to console us, to be with us. Emmanuel means God with us. And these people, these just and holy people, longed in sorrow for the joy that we possess, the joy of the Blessed Sacrament, the joy of the Sacred Heart, the joy of the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, the joy of the infallible teaching authority of the Catholic Church, the joy of all of the other sacraments, the joy of religious life, the joy of innocence, the joy of going to confession when we are in the state of mortal sin. These things they long to enjoy, and these things we possess. Let the joy of Christmas, therefore, be for you not the joy of fleeting revelries or the joy of receiving more material things as if we did not have enough, or even the joy of our worldly ties of family or friendship, not to say that those are wrong. But let the joy of Christmas be primarily and interiorly the everlasting joy of possessing God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.